it's really easy to see that this change is going to impact me because I see the lineup going away. And so it's like, okay, this makes sense. But for the accounting professional, lots of times they're still making lots of money. They're still doing things the way that they've always done them. It's still profitable. They're still growing. And so it's really hard to get that compelling reason of like, why do I need to change? I don't understand that there's any urgency to this.
Welcome back to Future Proof Gang. I'm Bill Sheridan. We got a good show today. My guest is Jennifer Warawa. She's Executive Vice President of Partners, Accountants, and Alliances with Sage. And we're going to talk about the stuff you need to know today if you want to remain relevant tomorrow. And those things are changing. There's no doubt. Take skills as an example, right? Time was we could count on the technical accounting skills that we learned in college to see us through years, maybe even decades of our careers, but not anymore. Things are changing and they're changing really, really fast. And you can blame massive technological advances, increasing oversight by regulators and legislators, demographic shifts that are changing the face of our workforce. And at the same time, our clients' expectations are undergoing some pretty radical transformations of their own, right? Clients no longer want their accountants to simply crunch the numbers. They want us to tell the stories behind those numbers and become true advisors who will help them take their businesses to the next level. And to do that, accounting and finance professionals are going to need a new set of tools. And as part of a unique partnership with the Business Learning Institute, Sage has defined those tools in what it calls the Sage 7C transformation model. And we think this model and the thinking behind it are pretty important. The model points to seven pillars, each starting with a C, so hence the name 7C transformation model, seven pillars that will help accountants build a future-ready practice. So what are those pillars? Okay, number one, core beliefs. So establishing your vision, mission, values, vision, all those things will determine how you lead, right? Outlining your core beliefs will help you decide where you want your firm to go and where you're going to gain your next competitive advantage. Next up is context. This is all about identifying trends, right? Exploring the landscape, seeing what's happening so that you can get better at predicting your organization's future. The third pillar is culture. This is defining who you are as an organization. Now, the idea here is that your future journey is defined by the behavior that you encourage and teach and reward. Number four is common language. So here, communication is key. Using a common language to create a strong internal and external identity and a brand for your organization. Number five is competencies and competence. These are the skills that we'll need to succeed in the age of automation. And those skills are changing, as we said. Number six, our colleagues, okay? The key to your success is surrounding yourself with great people. It's really as simple as that, right? Gaining a competitive advantage starts with finding great people to help you work on it. And finally, number seven, collaborative systems. The idea here is that the technology you use going forward can really be the difference between getting ahead and staying behind. So the folks at Sage would tell you that these pillars are interconnected and kind of work seamlessly together to help future-ready firms identify and capitalize on their next competitive advantage. And the model was vetted after conversations with more than 50 accountants and thought leaders, with Sage and the Business Learning Institute offering the programs that will teach accountants how to implement these pillars into their organizations and become future ready as a result. That's the ultimate goal. So Jennifer and I spoke recently about the importance of this model for the future of our profession because it is important. Nothing really could be more important than to learn the skills and build the structures that are going to make us future ready. So with that in mind, here's my conversation with Jennifer Warawa. I don't know how Jennifer Warawa became Jennifer Warawa.
Me neither.
Yeah. So tell me, what's your background? Where'd you come from and how'd you get here?
Yes, that's a really good question. So I had an accounting and consulting firm in Kelowna, British Columbia, Canada for 12 years, and I actually was a Sage partner. So I, I'd speak at their conferences. One year they were doing kind of a call for speakers, and at the time I was using GoToAssist to do remote advisory services for clients, which was very new. Like people were like, you had to drive there or you didn't do service work. So I was showing people, how do you go online and actually consult with people from all over the place? So it was like this new concept. So I did that at one of the Sage conferences, and then they brought me back for the same session next year because, like, okay, people are now, they're wondering, like, how do I do this? And so I spoke at their conferences, and I used to do PR stuff for Sage and whatnot. And then next thing you know, I was at their conference one year, and they said, hey, you know what? You should come and work here. And I was like, oh, I don't think so. That's super funny. But no, I just didn't want to sell my firm. I was not, you know, we were growing, and I like owning a business. I like being an entrepreneur. And my impression was, in corporate life, you would, you know, you'd be turning some big machine, and it would be slow, and it would be boring, and it turned out to be the opposite of all of that. So they made me, you know, an offer of, like, you know, an opportunity to be entrepreneurial and do something on a larger scale and be able to fix some of the challenges that I was seeing in my own practice, you know, from the corporate side. So I said, well, let's just give it a try. And then next thing you know, 10 years later, I'm still here.
It's amazing how time flies, isn't it?
It flies, it does.
Now you were like, you're a big deal now. I mean,
no. According to Tom Hood, that's it, though.
But you've been, every time I look on social media, you're in another country talking to a bunch of accountants there. Like, where have you been lately?
I've had the opportunity this year to travel to some places I've not been before. So I've been, you know, this year I did Singapore and Malaysia and Thailand and South Africa, and obviously, I'm regular in London and the UK, and then France and Spain. And so I do have the opportunity to go and meet with a lot of our partners and customers. And I feel really fortunate because you get to build relationships. Social media makes it easy to keep in touch with people. So you can kind of build relationships when you're there, and then you get to know each other as time goes on through Twitter and LinkedIn and Facebook. And so you keep in touch with everybody. And
that's really
cool. So, yeah, it's been a little bit of travel.
So out of all those miles, what kind of stuck out for you? What did you come away from all this travel with, any kind of big ahas or?
I think the big thing for me is that the answers are out there. You just have to listen. And I think that lots of times, you know, I'm fortunate to come from a culture where we are really encouraged, like strongly encouraged, like you better do it. To get out of our four walls and go out there and actually meet with the customers and our partners and our accountants to find out what's going on in the market and just be really close to the market. And I think when you go out, they know what they need. And when you spend enough time brainstorming and having dinner or lunch or spending a day or going to visit their practice or their business, which is one of my favorite things to do, you learn so much and you can have a much better insight into what needs to happen when you get back to the office. I think that's probably my biggest insight is when you go out there, it's like you start to put these pieces together. And one example I used a little bit when I was speaking at the MACPA summit was around our X3 partner summit. And you go out and when I'm meeting with all these X3 partners around the globe, they said, we're really great if we had this global conference. And so I thought I came up with this really great idea. They want to network with people around the world. I'm like, I could do this global conference. It's going to be amazing. And then I went and met with a partner in Canada. I'm like, I have this idea for this global conference. He's like, yeah, we used to have it every year. And then it stopped a couple of years ago. I was like, oh, well, it wasn't even my idea. But really, you just get out and you listen to what people want. And I mean, maybe it wasn't an original idea, but it's just people are, they know what they need and they express it and you can just act on it and you come up with solutions that, you know, people are excited to see. So I love that. I love spending time out in the field.
Any differences from country to country to country, or is an accountant in one place pretty much an accountant in all places, and they have similar concerns and needs?
It is. I think there's a couple things that are variables. One is around the rate of technology adoption, and I think sometimes we forget that, you know, there's countries, you know, when I went into Malaysia, for example, there's a lot of accountants that can't move at the speed they'd even like to because of the lack of internet or high-speed internet that's available. And so they have tons of customers that don't even have any internet at all. And so it's like, okay, well, that isn't, I mean, there's still pockets of that a little bit in the US. They don't have high speed, but to go where entire cities don't even have any internet, it's like, that's just foreign. Yeah. So there's, you know, in some cases, the technology is not advancing as fast as the profession. But I think the general challenges around, you know, their jobs are being disrupted. They feel like automation is going to be taking away some of the tasks that they do every day. That's pretty consistent. And so, and then the opportunity to make sense of technology, that's consistent everywhere. And I haven't seen that many people doing it well.
So you bring up technology, and it seems like a lot of the folks in the profession, or maybe I'm assuming, but I think this is accurate to a certain extent, think that, you know, mastering technology is kind of the key to future readiness.
Yes.
And I've heard you say some things that make me believe that you believe that that's not necessarily so.
I do not think that is so. Yeah, I'm really a strong believer in that because you, I think that technology can enable you to do things differently. That's not the end answer. It's not like, okay, well, we moved to the cloud, we're in the future. It's like, well, what's different? What's changed? And in many cases, they're like, nothing. And so it's, you know, if you look at a desktop application and a cloud application and they look the same, the UI looks the same, they do the same things. It's like, so what did you change? Your data is in the cloud. And I saw a cartoon one time that I thought was really funny and someone's explaining to someone what the cloud is. And they said, you know, the cloud is just someone else's computer, right? And so it's like, you know, I think that people don't realize the opportunity it presents and they just think they've arrived at the future because they moved to the cloud. And it's like, that's just like the beginning of enabling you to do things differently, but not if you don't do them any differently than you did them before, right? If you're still doing month-end financial statements and year-end taxes and everything stays the same, then there's no benefit. You haven't even realized the benefit of it. And I think there's a difference between adopting technology and unlocking the benefit and the value. And I think that's where CPAs are stuck, is unlocking the benefit and the value. They don't know how to do that.
That
in most
benefit,
cases.
That value, the opportunity being what for a typical CPA?
Well, I think it's, you know, I think being able to have real-time conversations with customers. And I think that businesses, or whether it's businesses or if you work in industry and you're advising a CFO or a CEO, they want to know what's going on in their business real time. And they can't afford in many cases for it to be too late before they have information. And I think that you can have those real-time conversations, but not if you're looking at the data once a month or once a quarter or once a year. And so it presents an opportunity to become this real-time advisor, but it's a different way of working. And it's like, so what, you know, what do I need to do? And I was talking to someone last night at dinner and they were saying how they'd got internet for one of their grandparents. And they said, how come you don't respond very often? Like I sent you an email like 4 days ago. They said, oh, well, we check it on Tuesdays. And so it's like, you know, because that's the day they go and get the mail from the mailbox. Then they also check their email. And it's like, okay. So they're like, no, that's different though. So they had to explain, you know, this technology is different. There's a different expectation. It works different. It's not like the same as walking down the street to get your mail. And they're like, oh, okay. But they were just doing it the way they'd always done it. And so I think it presents an opportunity, but not if you don't change the way that you actually work.
That's, it reminds me of when my mom first got her very first email account. She would find something that she'd like to share with me and my four sisters. And so she would print out one copy and take it to the post office and make five copies and put it in an envelope and mail it to us.
Oh my gosh, that's the best.
It's like, Mom, let me show you the forward button.
And then then a week later, you're like, why did I show her the forward button? What was I thinking?
Right.
Yeah.
Yep. That opportunity is, and you just said it's a different way of working than a lot of accountants and CPAs are used to, or they're pretty much used to doing things a certain way,
yeah,
and have been for years and years and years. And all of a sudden, this brand new opportunity appears, but it requires a shift. It requires learning new skills and new business models, perhaps, and new ways of operating. How do they get there from where they are?
Mm-hmm.
What are the steps or you know, maybe the most important first step for,
yes,
kind of making that shift?
Yeah, I think probably the first step, it's like, you know, in any transformation program or self-help program, the first step is admitting you have a problem. But I think it's just identifying there is an opportunity and I am willing to change. And I think that's probably, you know, you need that mindset shift before you even start to think about, okay, what do I need to do to get there? Because I think that people jump into the practical physical changes they're going to make and they don't actually even really believe it's the right thing to do. So they're there physically, but they're not bought in. And so it's like, how do you actually buy in? Like, what's it going to take for you to buy in that change is required? And sometimes it's, when I talk in some of my keynotes about the banking industry and how that's changed so much over time, and it's like easy for the bank teller to see their jobs going away because people started using the ATM and now there's no lineup at the bank and it's like, okay, and now people are getting laid off. So it's like, it's really easy to see that this change is going to impact me because I see the lineup going away. And so it's like, okay, this this makes sense. But for the accounting profession, lots of times they're still making lots of money. They're still doing things the way that they've always done them. It's still profitable. They're still growing. And so it's really hard to get that compelling reason of like, why do I need to change? I don't understand that there's any urgency to this. And there is some urgency. So I think, you know, one of the things that we've done with BLI is launch the 7C transformation model. And the reason that we did that is we heard from accountants, they need to be able to have a roadmap to the future. And so they get that technology is coming, they get things are changing, but they don't know how to get there. And it's not overnight. It's not just about adopting cloud software. It's about, okay, how do I actually change how I work and what I believe, which is even more important than the way that you work. And so that's, you know, and that's an exciting step in our journey of helping transform the profession and, you know, take the innovation that happens in the MACPA and BLI and, you know, take it around the world.
Yeah. So tell me a little bit about that model and what it's designed to do. I mean, it's more than just, you know, a pretty picture on a page. What was the purpose of putting this together?
Yeah. So I think for us, the purpose is really about how do we build that roadmap? And that's, you know, because I think what we saw was sometimes a CPA could identify the first step and sometimes they could identify what it looked like at the end, but they couldn't identify anything in between. And sometimes I think in some professions, people are willing to take the leap of faith and just go, okay, I'll trust that after I get to the first step, the second step will appear. Well, some CPAs, like, if there's 9 steps, I need to know what the 9 steps are. If there's 7 steps, tell me what they are. And so we spent some time with the leadership from BLI and the MACPA saying, okay, what are the steps and how does that, you know, what does that look like in the future and how does it really change? And there's some things that need to change around, you know, core beliefs and what you want your practice to be and what you want your career ambition to be. There are some pieces around culture and context. And I think all of this is important to drive transformation. Again, transformation is the changing of the belief, which ultimately leads to the actions becoming natural versus I'm just going to go and do things physically different, but I don't really know why I'm doing it, or I don't necessarily believe it's the change. So it's that 7 pillars or 7 steps on that journey. And it's, you know, it says 7 steps, it sounds short, but I mean, it's in reality, it's probably multiple years that it takes to go through those 7 steps and say, I really want to redefine. I mean, even just redefining the culture of your firm is, that's a big piece of work.
People tend to think of culture as like this, you know, this warm and fuzzy kind of thing that just exists. But it's hard work to
actually come up with something that works,
you know? And same with core values or core beliefs. It's not just coming up with a few words. There's a lot of sweat and toil in building something like that.
And I think even culture, I think sometimes we minimize how much culture has changed with the new work environment. And I think about, you know, people think about remote workers. And it's like, okay, well, everyone's just going to work from home and we've shut down our practice and we're cool and everyone's working at home. But building a culture between a bunch of people that work at home is really challenging. Mm-hmm. Like it's actually totally different. So people are trying to build culture in their remote workforce and they, A, aren't even good at building culture in a workforce where everyone comes into the office. Yeah. And now they're trying to build it with remote workers. And it's hard. Yeah. That's not, I mean, that's, there's a, some art involved there and they don't know they are. So it takes time. And it's a skill that they don't necessarily have. And so even just identifying what does culture mean, and then how do I build the right culture in my firm so people are open to change and they're willing to support our clients and willing to work differently, because it's a whole mindset shift.
Yeah. So it's like each one of these 7 C's, these pillars. And again, you're not just identifying them, but there are skills, there are competencies that need to be learned in order to do these things right.
Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah. So we have... You know, for us, we want people to be able to go online, to take training, to be able to understand these concepts and actually have the tools and resources to go and make it happen and change their firm. But we also have a full team, and we're going across all of our countries, of partner account managers that are out in the field visiting firms, helping them execute on the 7C model. So it's saying, okay, so you've watched this, you've done that, now where are you at on this step? And it's like, well, I'm stuck here. I don't know what to do now. My partners don't buy in, or I don't know how to get the rest of my team to buy in, or I don't know how to get from here to there. And these partner account managers are going to work with them to say, well, we'll figure out the answer together. And so it's a shift for us because, you know, we've traditionally had people out in the field that maybe are out there talking about software. But at the end of the day, when you want to drive technology adoption, it's that business model shift that's going to be the most important part to getting accountants to adopt the technology. And so we need to drive that new mindset, the new, you know, this transformation ultimately. And so that's kind of a shift in the folks that we have out in the field and what their role is and what they're doing to help firms.
That's great. What's next for you and Sage?
Well, I every time I ask myself that, something appears, so I don't even want to ask. So I've been...
Be careful what you wish
yes,
for.
Yes, exactly. So this role that I'm in is like the, you know, this was the role that I hoped to have in, you know, however many years, and then it just the opportunity came up earlier than I originally anticipated. So I've been in this role since July, and I love it. Like, I love working with our partners, and I love working globally. I love being able to connect the dots. We have, you know, we have a real opportunity, for example, in the UK with our enterprise business, and I have partners in South Africa that want to expand. Now they're setting up UK practices. And so it's just being able to connect those dots and say, you want to expand into other countries? I've got an opportunity for you. And it's like, okay, well, let's meet in London and let's go through it. And so that kind of conversation, or, you know, we're doing some really, really interesting work with PwC and Deloitte, not together. Cool. I mean, with them separately.
Like, right.
We're not all in a room together at the same time. But there's just a lot of innovation happening, mm-hmm. and they're willing to do things completely different than they've done them before. And I think sometimes people think of, you know, PwC and Deloitte and you know, other like firms or the Big Four as, you know, slow moving or maybe not embracing innovation. They're innovating faster than people can keep up with them. And so they're looking at solving problems in really innovative ways. And so just been really enjoying that. How do we take what we're doing? You know, we had a meeting with Deloitte from Austria the other day, and it's like, okay, we have this huge opportunity and how we're going to do things differently and how can we take that into other countries in Europe? And it's just great conversations. It's such a global marketplace right now. It's just a global business landscape, and it's really fun. Mm-hmm. It's really fun.
That's awesome. Well, Jennifer, thanks for taking the time. I appreciate it.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it too.
That was Jennifer Warawa, Sage's Executive Vice President of Partners, Accountants, and Alliances. The bottom line here, folks, is that our clients depend on accounting and finance professionals to help take their businesses into the future. But we can't do that by relying on the skills that got us here. And the 7C transformation model is Sage's attempt to clearly define the skills that we have to be future ready. And the Business Learning Institute stands ready with Sage to help accounting and finance pros master those skills. So you can learn more about Sage's 7C transformation model at practiceofnow.com.